This isn't funny. I'm cringe. This is cringy. Nobody acts like this. Whatever. I posted it. Go take a customer. Come back. I think 100,000 views in an hour.
Whoa.
At one Lincoln dealership in Pennsylvania, there is a salesman who lives a double life. But this double life is far from secret. Today, I'm speaking with Russ Flips Whips, the world's most famous car salesman, whose impressive 700,000 social media followers tune in regularly for his insights, tips, and hilarious skits about the car market. We discuss getting 60 million monthly views on his social media content, what it takes to become TikTok famous in the car business, how much money he makes selling cars versus creating content, juggling fame while selling Lincolns, and much more.
What's up, everyone? This is Car Dealership Guy. You're listening to the Car Dealership Guy podcast, which is my effort to give you access to the most transparent insights into the car market.
Well, before we get into the show, this episode is brought to you by Private Auto, the first transactional marketplace that enables a safe and secure way to buy and sell vehicles privately. Private Auto provides a self-service platform that removes the middleman and uses proprietary banking technology. This allows buyers and sellers to safely complete a private party sale on their own at any time. They've thought of it all. Identity verification to avoid scams, an e-bill of sale to simplify the paperwork, instant transfer of money between buyers and sellers, and so much more. Learn more at privateauto.com and use code CDG to list your car for free. This episode is also brought to you by AutoFi. AutoFi helps progressive dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, on your dealership website and now in your showroom too. AutoFi solves the everyday problems dealers actually face, like bottlenecks at the sales desk, customer distrust, and decision overload. And their all-new showroom solution includes deal estimation, desking, lender routing, and an F&I menu. All of this in one powerful platform that bridges the gap between the CRM and the DMS. Dealerships with AutoFi can manage the floor more efficiently, fast-track the yes, and make better lender decisions, enabling them to sell cars faster with higher satisfaction and more profit. In fact, deals with AutoFi take an average of 28 minutes from customer check-in to loan approval, and dealers are making $411 more back-end PVR per deal. Go to autofi.com/CDG to learn more. That's autofi.com/CDG and start selling smarter today. Russ Flips Whips on the CDG podcast. Russ, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Yost. It's so nice to be here.
Can I call you the world's most famous car salesman yet?
That's a pretty bold title to take. I think if you're going off views over the last year, I think I might own that title. I don't know how to calculate that, but I think I'm definitely up there for sure.
Well, for anyone listening, I sort of made you show me your analytics here before the podcast. So I confirmed it. You are doing over 60 million views per month across Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I mean, you're crushing it. And it's been truly incredible watching that. You have over 700,000 followers, right? I added up all your platforms, saw that as well. So I'm sure, you know, these numbers aren't new to you, but you're killing it. And it's really awesome to see what you've done to the industry.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that, man.
So there's a lot to talk about today. We'll put social media aside for now. And plus, you know, a lot to discuss about your future, your media. I mean, I'm so, so curious, and I'm sure the audience is as well, just how you've really come up in this automotive media space. Let's take it back. Just start us off, Russ, with how you got into the car business, right? Give us that background.
I feel like nobody ever is truly like, I'm just going to get into the car business. You know, a lot of people, maybe it's a family member or a friend gets them into it. I don't think if you asked any fifth grader in America what they want to do for a living, I don't think they're going to say be a car salesman. So everyone stumbles into it in their own kind of way. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I don't know. I don't think anyone.
I totally agree with that. And I think most people don't intend on staying in the business.
No,
so
nobody can stay.
Yeah, but how did you stumble into this business?
Yeah. So at 15 years old, my best friend at the time, his dad was the general manager at the Lincoln dealership, Beyond E. Lincoln in Monroeville, right outside Pittsburgh. And it's still where I currently work. And he had slept over on a Friday night. And he was just kind of telling me like, yeah, I got to go to work tomorrow morning. My dad's going to pick me up. We're going to clean cars. Really nice cars. I make $10 an hour and we get free pizza on Saturdays. And at 15 years old, I was like, dude, that is like the craziest job I've ever heard of. Like, I need to do that. And that morning, his dad came to pick him up at about 8 a.m. And I walked out to the car with him and I tapped on the window and I said, hey, can I come to work? I want to work with you. You know, and I wasn't even expecting to go to work right then and there. He was like, get in. You can work today. You can start today, man. I know you have a good work ethic. Started washing cars, not selling them, just washing them at 15 years old. Then my senior year of high school, our principal announced essentially a work release program. He would allow us to come to school for four periods, and you could leave after fourth period, cut out all those annoying electives, art, gym, all that stuff that kind of a waste of time, in my opinion. And if you had a job, you can go work, or if you want to go take college credits, you could do that. College was in the picture for me at the time, but I didn't want to take college credits. I was just like, I'm not going to leave school to do more school. But if I can leave school to work, I'm going to do that. And I approached my general manager, who at this point is like a father to me. You know, I mean, I've been working at the dealership for 3 years now. I had a great relationship with him. I said, hey, you think I could start work coming to work at like 12 o'clock and I'll stay till close to wash cars? And he's like, what do you mean? They're going to let you out of school? I said, yeah, I can leave school and come wash cars for my senior high school. He goes, dude, you're not going to leave school to wash cars. I'm not doing that to you, but you can sell them. I go, wait, I'm in high school. I can't sell cars. He goes, are you 18? I said, yeah. He goes, then you can sell cars. And that's how it all started. I started selling cars while in high school.
I love it. What did your parents think about all this?
So my mom has always been in sales. I guess that's where I get that gift of gab. But my mom and my grandparents are very involved in my life. They helped raise me at certain points in my life. And my dad, who was living in Alaska at the time, but was still pretty involved in my life, they were all like, that's fine. That's a cool little thing to do. But, you know, Russ, you're bright. I'm not this genius, but I'm a ABC student, you know, more B's and A's than C's. But I did pretty good in school, you know, could have easily got into most colleges, you know, university, state school, whatever. You could sell cars, but hey, you know, let's not forget you're going to go to college. You're going to be the first guy in the family to go and get a 4-year degree, and you're going to go do this, that. And that was kind of the plan initially. That was like, okay, I'll sell cars after school, but, you know, we'll do college when high school ends. And I just was making decent money for a high schooler, man, selling cars. And I kind of had that conversation that I wasn't going to school and I was going to sell cars. And there was mixed emotions. Definitely, you know, the grandparents were like, no, you got to go to school. Like, you have to go to college. Like, you don't want to be a car salesman. I don't think it has the greatest stigma around it being a car salesman.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, like, what was that first year like for you, right? First year selling cars, just like, give us the behind the scenes.
Oh, first year selling cars was awesome. I mean, it was tough. I got so many people were like, looked down on me as customers. I mean, you'd get that one customer that was like, wow, this kid's a go-getter. He's hungry. He's in high school. And they would treat me so right. And then I had like grown men, just think your typical construction worker, like, yeah, I'm not buying at this price, sport. Now go get your manager. This, you know, just like so rude to me.
So how'd you deal with that, right? As a young up and comer in the industry, how did you deal with that?
So at first, like terribly, like super nervous, like, let me go get my manager. I'll be right back. Like I'd go run into my manager, but
you were that guy.
yes, definitely. But I had such good training at my dealership. True 1980s car salesman, Joe Ferrero, true car guy, still works at our dealership, still trains, just so good at what he does. And he put it to me in such good words. He goes, Russ, I'm in high school. How many cars did you sell last month, Russ? And this is after a pretty bad experience I had with a customer. Guy just acted like he knew everything. I knew nothing. I was, you know, wasting his time. He goes, Russ, how many cars you sell last month? I go, I think I did 9, 10. He goes, that's more cars in 1 month than most people buy in a lifetime. You're the expert. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. And like that conversation really shifted my mindset. I'm like, I am the expert. You know, he's like, dude, you've sold 40 cars since you started. You know, but not less than 1% of the population will buy 40 cars in their lifetime. You are an expert. Keep that in mind as you're showing these cars. You know more than they do. Don't come off as cocky or brash, but you're the expert, dude. There's no reason to ever be flustered or worried. And that's kind of when I turned it on and started to get really good at what I do.
So he built your confidence, which is great. And now tell me about what was the actual training for you, right? As again, a young up and comer, how were you really trained? Like, give me the tactics.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a lot of, at the time, we're doing a lot of true like Joe Verde training, which is just like your typical meet and greet. Like, how do you say hi to the customer? Like, you know, there's some dealers you walk in like, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, where it's, hi, I'm Russ. Thanks so much for stopping into Beyond Lincoln today. What brings you folks out today? Sales or service? Oh, great, Yost. You're here for sales? Well, I'm Russ. Once again, here's a couple of my business cards. It's an honor to be serving you today. And then you ask for the trade-in. You know, we role play, and my manager, Joe, did such a good job of explaining why you do things. So, hey, Yosh, you want to save some time today? Great. Why don't I have my manager look at your trade-in while we go look at the new car? And then he would explain why we do that. One, it's to save the customer time. Two, it's so we can have their car looked at. So, and we already have figures for them. So it would be, hey, I mean, we already looked at your car, at least come in for a 5-minute proposal. So everything, it wasn't just like, here's the process. It was, here's the process and why. And that manager, Joe Ferrero, I mean, dude, we ran the same meeting for like 4 years straight, like the same meeting, the same stuff. And they always just talk about how like Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, would start practice by taking snaps from the center. I mean, the most mundane thing, but the basics, you know, everyone wants to come in and learn how to be a master negotiator and all these crazy word tracks. But if you just know the process in and out, you're going to close at
the
a pretty
fundamentals.
High, if you know the fundamentals, you're going to close at a pretty high percentage. A lot of guys do meet and greet, test drive, numbers, then do the trade, then, you know, and they do it all backwards. And the problem is you do it all backwards and you sell a car one time and you think, oh, well, that worked. That worked. I'm doing it my way. My way worked. And then that guy is a 9-car, 8-car a month guy for the rest of his life because he tries doing it his way.
Mm-hmm. Timeless advice, my friend. I love to hear it. So before we get into media and just your astronomical rise, what was that first year like for you, like financially, right? Were you making more money than you've ever made? I mean, how much were you making? What was that like?
Well, I was in high school. So of course, I was definitely making more money than I ever made. You know, you figure, so if we take the year of 2017, I'm in high school from January to essentially end of May, working part-time. I'd have to double check, but I think I eclipsed right over 50 grand that year as a half of the year part-time, half of the year full-time. That was crazy money. Like that was like ridiculous for me. I mean, I went and bought a house like that when I turned that summer, I bought a house, you know, a $90,000 house. I mean, I just was living large, had a house, had a brand new Lincoln. I mean, all off 50 grand too. I mean, it was like, you know, which really isn't a lot of, I mean, some people would say in 2024, that's a poverty wage, but I'm pretty smart with my money. You know, I'm a good saver. So at 19 years old, brand new Lincoln, a nice little house. I mean, I just felt like the man. You know, it was crazy. All my friends were just starting to go to college, party, drink. I'm over here slaving away at the dealership.
This episode is brought to you by my very own Car Dealership Guy Industry Job Board. CDGjobs.com, my industry job board connecting the best talent in automotive with the best companies, will remain absolutely free for CDG listeners to post and fill available roles at their companies. This free job board is for anyone in automotive, vendors, dealers, lenders, manufacturers, auto tech, everyone. Already, over 100 companies have posted open positions, including Lithia Motors, Recurrent, Credit Acceptance, Viros Credit, Cars Commerce, Shift Digital, Plug, Full Path, Westlake, Trade Pending. You get the point. The best part is that when these companies hire through cdgjobs.com, they are hiring the most informed candidates in the marketplace. So don't hesitate. You can add your open roles today by visiting cdgjobs.com or clicking the link in the show notes below. That's cdgjobs.com. Prior to media, which is what I want to ask you now or next, what were your aspirations, right? Did you think you were going to just stay in a dealership? Did you have aspirations beyond that? What was going through your head?
Before I got in the car dealership, I feel like I wanted to go to the NFL. And I found out very quickly into my high school football career, that wasn't going to happen. So then I had to, okay, I'm not going to the NFL. I'm not as good as football as I thought. When I was a freshman in high school, I was bigger than a lot of guys. I was 5'10", 160 pounds. I'm still 5'10", 160 pounds. So I hit that, you know, early growth spurt. So NFL dreams out the window, D1 football out the window. What am I going to do? My whole life, I've been told I was a good salesman, just a good talker, could get people to see eye to eye with me, persuasive. And, you know, I always had dreams of, you know, in high school, going to college, get a business degree, do what with it? I don't know. But that just felt like the cookie cutter plan that all of my teachers and guidance counselors were pushing me towards. I mean, when I told some of my teachers coming like April, May, because I had enrolled in college, I had like had everything set up to go to college, that I was not going to do that and go to continue working at this dealership. I mean, they looked at me like I was an idiot. And I make more than every single person in that building. And that's not to be insulting or degrading of a teacher or a principal or anybody. But it's like, dude, you can't, you're going to ruin your life for us. Like, you got to go to college. You could do business. You could do this. Like, you go into. And I was like, I'm just doing my own path, guys. You know, 99% of my school probably graduated, went to college. I'm going to be the 1%. I'm going to go the other way. And I'm sure as we get more into this conversation here, a lot of people listening are going to realize that it did work out for me very well.
Well, I mean, safe to say, right? From contemplating college and sticking in the car business, which is to becoming a media savant. I mean, again, 700,000 followers and hundreds of millions impressions. It's no joke. And I know, you know, I know what it takes, you know, to operate at that scale. And it's truly, I mean, really incredible how you've grown your brand. Let's shift into content and media. I think this is something that's really interesting to a lot of people. And a lot of people are wondering, can I do this as well? Can I grow on social media? Can I make money from this? So tons of questions. I guess first things first, right? Why did you start creating content? What happened that one day you decided I'm going to create my first piece of content?
I work at a Lincoln dealership and it's a standalone Lincoln dealership. You can imagine there's not people beating down the door to come buy a brand new Lincoln. We do well. We sell lots of cars, but we're not a high volume 200, 300 a month car dealership like you'd see with a Toyota dealer, for example. So there is some downtime. And I realized early into my career, I got to manage that downtime. And it started with making reviews on Lincolns. What I had in front of me, I had $3 million of inventory at my disposal. You know, I got a $100,000 Navigator, and it all started where it all clicked in my head where I can garner views and get attention and get eyes on Russ was with the 2020 Lincoln Aviator. It was a very exciting car. It was Lincoln's probably biggest and baddest car at the time. A lot of hype around it. And my dealership was one of the first in the country to really get their hands on it. It was a demonstration model. Didn't work. Not even everything in the car worked, was turned on, but it was just there to put our eyes on it. And I said to a friend, I handed him my camera. I go, record me. He goes, what are you going to say? I don't know, but record me. And I just walked around the car, pointed out what I liked on it, talked about some cool things, showed the whole car, upload that video, went to a friend's house in West Virginia that night, woke up the next morning, think I'd had 100,000 hits on YouTube overnight. You know, this is back in 2019. So I was like, oh, people like cars a lot. Like if I have access to showing these really cool cars, I can get views. So I did more videos on Lincolns. And, you know, some of the Lincolns that weren't as popular didn't get as many views. But every time we had that opportunity to do, or I had the opportunity to do a review of a new car that was fresh to the market, those videos always did well. And during COVID, they kind of dried up a little bit. Less inventory, not as exciting to talk about. Lincoln was kind of in a transition brand where we were kind of rocking with what we had. You know, the lineup wasn't going to change for a year or two. So nothing new to make videos on. That's why I stumbled upon this app called TikTok. And I seen there were some car sales guys making some funny content, some entertaining content, some educational content. Now, that's pretty cool. I can do that. So I started making TikToks. And I was only on TikTok. And I made a couple of videos on here's how I get a couple extra customers. I mean, this is one of my first viral videos on TikTok. And for at the time for me, viral was like 50,000 views. It was so cool, man. I remember the rush.
Yeah, I
told a little story about how I'll get an extra up on a Saturday that when lunch comes in and everybody goes to eat lunch, I stay up front. And, you know, if a customer comes in, it's my customer because everyone's eating pizza. And I was like, okay, cool. If I give car sales advice, that'll get some views. And the car sales advice was doing okay. But then I was like, how do I get to those big numbers, those big views? You know, I really want to entertain people, educate people, talk about things. And that's where I started to really try. And I really took the media serious. And that's when I started to make educational and entertaining videos that everybody can enjoy. You don't have to, because car sales advice is only applicable to car salesmen. If you're a single mother of three, I can't imagine you're watching a car sales advice video, you know? So how does Russ take his content to the next level? And that was making content that is consumer and dealer friendly, that everyone can watch and get something out of and enjoy and find funny or find entertaining or find educating. You know, I've taught car sales vets 30 years of the business things that for whatever reason I know and they don't. that just by talking about it, or I've taught consumers that have bought 30 cars. Oh, I never knew about that little tip and trick. That's good. I'll use that. So just stuff that everyone can enjoy.
Did you have any inflection points, would you say, in your growth? Was there any points where you said, wow, you really like up-leveled, took a next step? Was there any specific content that you created, or was it really just consistent, kind of pummeling every single day, putting out more content?
A lot of it's trial and error. You know, this video worked, this didn't. Let's double down on this type of video. There's one specific video on TikTok, first million hits, and I've modeled every video, not completely after, but the thought process. In this video, I almost didn't post it, Yos. I literally almost didn't post this video. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it turned out. I didn't think it was funny. I just...
What was it? What was the video?
So it was when...
Give us the goods.
Yeah. It was when the customer knows more than the salesman. And my younger brother...
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so my younger brother, who's my full-time behind-the-scenes camera guy for the most part, I said, hey, we're going to make this video. You're going to be the sales guy. Because I was the sales guy in every video. I was never... We were doing skits kind of before then. None of them got a ton of traction. But I said, I'm going to be the customer this time. That'll be funny. I'll be the customer. And I just pretend to be the customer that knew every single fact, statistic, and figure about the car. And that I didn't need the salesman's help. And just give me your best price. And I like watched it 10 times, yo. So I watched this video 10 times and I go, I don't like it. This isn't funny. I'm cringe. This is cringy. Nobody acts like this. Whatever. I posted it. Go take a customer. Come back. I think 100,000 views in an hour. I'm like, oh, whoa. And that's when I stopped to think. You can't always think like, what do I find entertaining? Because there's videos that have so many views. I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever watched. And then there's videos that have no views that I like. So I try not to take my personal take on the video too much into consideration.
I also think it's a testament to the social media game. It's so powerful. I looked the other day, I've posted, tweeted, or posted on LinkedIn, like in total 18,000 times. And you'd think by that point, like you'd know the formula down to a T. And yes, I mean, there's definitely, you know, strategies and things that work and things that resonate with more people than others. But at the end of the day, you're making a good point, which is that you can never be perfect, right? No matter how much you know the formula and how much you know the strategy and you think you know what people are going to resonate with, the market keeps you honest. And the audience sometimes surprises you when, you know, you post some content that suddenly, wow, like I did not think this was going to do well, and it just crushes it. And it still happens to me all the time nowadays as well.
I'm sure you've had this moment where you're like, this is the best post ever, and it flops.
Yeah.
But I, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens.
Yeah, yeah. How do you come up with ideas for your videos?
Yeah. So, I mean, originally it was just like on the spot. If I thought of something, I had to film it right then and there. And, you know, a lot of it was based off of just things because I would literally sit down and just take moments and think of ideas. Like this is before I got super serious with TikTok. This is still in the early days. Like I have no appointments today. Just finished up my follow-up. I'm going to sit down and just think of ideas. And that's how it originally started. Then I started, but I would come up with one idea, go film one video, boom, done for the day. Wasn't very serious. Like, all right, did enough work for today. I made one video. Then I was like, well, maybe I should put these ideas in my phone and keep track of them. And as they would come up, whether I was with a customer and an idea would spark interest, you know, husband, wife arguing over the color of a car, for example. Oh, that's pretty funny. You know, I'll do a skit. Like my wife is in a lot of my videos. So I use her as the wife in a lot of my videos. And it's like, okay, I'll do that video. That'd be funny. Husband and wife can't agree on something. Or I'll see something on TikTok. Like there was this trend on TikTok that down payments at car dealerships were illegal. I don't know if that ever came across your desk, but like there was a lot of people on TikTok. It was going viral. Stating that anytime a dealership charges you a down payment, it's illegal. And it's like, that's not true. So like, that formed some skits and ideas. And I would just log all these ideas. I mean, I just went through them this morning because I was filming. Over 1,000 ideas I have, you know, probably half of them done, 500 more to go. Some are great ideas. Some are home run ideas that would take a full scale production, like mini movie ideas that I have that are just like those like moonshot ideas.
And who's watching these videos? What do you know about your audience, right? Is this only consumers? Is it dealers? What does your audience look like?
Yeah, so I would say upwards of, based on some polling I've done, about 40% of my audience is working inside of the four walls of a dealership. Car salesmen, car dealerships, automotive techs, people working inside the four walls of the dealership. I think the other 10, 15%, 20% is people in the car industry, vendors, brokers, And half the other people just like cars or like me.
Tell me, how has this impacted you at the dealership, right? You're getting all these views on TikTok and Instagram and whatnot, right? Putting the media game aside, which the media game is super powerful, which we'll talk about on a dealership basis, right? If someone is listening to this and they're like, I want to emulate this, I want to do something similar. First things first is, has this positively impacted your sales or the business at your actual dealership?
1,000%. I mean, the phone calls come rolling in, the people come in asking for me, and it has just been phenomenal. The response from the consumers, I mean, just all positive things. People calling in asking for me. Once in a blue moon, you'll get somebody that's just kind of wasting time to say hi, which is whatever. I don't mind. If somebody calls and just wants to talk to me and I'm free, hey, that's a true fan.
Oh, true, because they know where you work, so they can just call and just say what's up. Yeah.
There was this, it actually drove my one associate crazy because I was off. This like 8-year-old kid kept calling in. Is Russ Flips Whips there? I want to talk to Russ. Is Russ there? And he kept calling. He called like 10 times. And then I finally picked up. And I didn't even know it was him. I just, because, you know, the phone's ringing to everyone's desk. And I picked up, Beyond Lincoln, this is Russ. Is this Russ Flips Whips? Oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, this is Russ. Hey, man, I heard you were calling the other day. Like, it's so nice to talk to you, man. I'm surprised you watched my content at 8 years old. He's like, oh, I love cars. I love you. Like, da, 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 da. And it was, you know, we talked for a couple minutes. And then I was like, hey, buddy, got to get back to work, man. But hey, call anytime. And that was just, it was hilarious. Yeah, it was so cool.
What does your management think about all this? I have to imagine they follow you like religiously because of this. Like, what do they just think about the whole media thing and the impact it's had on the dealership? Is it like promote it, or is it kind of, yeah, like do what you got to do? Or what is it like? What's that relationship like?
No, they love it. I mean, there is that balance, of course, of like, hey, TikTok boy, we got to sell some cars. Like, you know, because they're not making money off what I'm doing. They are, but it's more lucrative for Russ than them, of course.
You're making more money from media than you're making from selling cars.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there is that balance. I mean, they're able to use me, though, because I'm great on camera. I'm great at explaining cars. So, I mean, there's this, we're pushing this Corsair ad, Lincoln Corsair. It's a car we sell. And I did the ad for them, you know, and it's not only is that brand recognition for Beyond Lincoln, the dealership, but Russ Flips Whips is in that video. You know what I mean? So that's super good for them. And it's been nothing but positive things. I mean, sometimes I do allow it to get in the way of my 9-to-5 job. Like, hey, Russ, there's a customer. Hold on. I'm posting this video. Like, no, like, dude, there's a customer. Like, do that at home. And, you know, there's that fine balance. But for the most part, man, it's nothing but good things. My general manager, as I mentioned, is like a father to me. So he's been nothing but supportive. His name's Jim Santamaro. He's even been in a couple of videos. I mean, he's done a couple of cameos. He's nothing but supportive, and he loves it, man.
That's amazing. So I do want to shift into the financial side here, right? Talk about how much money you're making and all that. Before we do that, dig in a little bit more about what it's like to balance these two jobs for you. Again, how did you go from just selling cars to selling cars, creating content full time, and being one of the, if not the largest automotive influencer that works at a physical dealership on Instagram and TikTok? Right? How do you balance these two things and content creation? What's your playbook?
Well, I would say it is a good bit of work. I am in a situation, once again, I'm at a standalone Lincoln dealership. I'm selling roughly, I averaged last year, slightly under 20 cars a month. So I'm definitely a busy guy. It's not like I'm selling 6 cars a month. But even if you sell 20 cars a month and you work 9 hours a day, and we all know it takes 2 hours to sell a car, there's a lot of hours in the day to work on other things. So, I mean, I use a lot of that time to edit videos, post videos, and create videos. It's really not that hard. In the beginning, it was difficult because I didn't know what to say. The videos would take a couple takes. But the consistency that I have brought to this whole media side of my life, this year-long consistency, I can go walk out on the lot, rip a minute and a half video, one take, post it on TikTok. And from the idea of, oh, you know what? This is some important content. You know, dealers and consumers will like this. I can go have that from the thought to on TikTok in sub 5 minutes. You know, and that's not necessarily a skit. That's more of like a, hey guys, three things to look out for when you're buying a used car, check the wiper blade, check for the second key, you know, da, 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 da. I can do that in less than sub 5 minutes. So, I mean, there is a tough balance, but the more you do it, the better you get at it. And the better you get at it, the easier it becomes and the less time it takes.
Mm-hmm. And then your brother who said helps you with filming and whatnot, does he work at the dealership as well?
Yeah, so my brother's the man. My brother is awesome. I never realized how blessed I was to have him behind the camera until I started talking to other people, especially guys that are in the automotive influencer and even influencers in general that do the very similar skit type videos. And they're like, hey, your camera guy makes half of those videos. Like his tone, his inflection, his acting, even though you don't see his face, he's so good at it. And that's when I realized, you know, I took him for granted at the beginning, you know.
It's invaluable. Oh yeah. That is invaluable to have someone like that because you just can't do it alone.
Exactly. And he saves me so much time because we are brothers. We lived in the same house for 17 years. Our flow is impeccable. I mean, we could film today. We made 5 videos, skits on our off days at the dealership in less than an hour and a half. So I got 5 skits banked because I can say, hey, Hunter, we're going to do, what was one we did today? We're going to do a video on leasing residual, a little skit. Customer has to see the residual. Boom. He knows about it. He's in the car business. So I don't got to like teach him what that means and what to say. And he'll say, he might even give me a couple tips and tricks on, oh, actually, you should say it like this, Russ. That's probably the better way to say it. Oh, you're right. Good idea. And he's a great source of ideas too, because he's in the business. Yeah. He's a finance manager at my dealership. So
I love it. All right. So let's pull back the curtain here on some of the economics of this entire world, right? So first things first, like starting high level, how much do you make right now per year from selling cars?
Selling cars per year, it varies in this industry. Last year, I brought home from car sales alone, a little bit under $150,000. Pretty strong number. Definitely there's guys making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $600,000. Hey,
single point Lincoln dealership. I think you're doing a pretty good job. And then what are you making from the media side of the game? I see the smile already.
This is a question I get a lot. And we're going to peel back the curtain here. But to a lot of people listening, it took some time to build up to this. But my best months are over $20,000 from platform revenue alone. That is not sponsorships. That's not deals. That's TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all cutting me checks, direct deposit, over $20,000 just hitting my bank account. Which is just...
Got it. So how old are you?
25.
Here you are, right? 25-year-old, where your guidance counselor was yelling at you for not going to college. And you're making over $400,000 a year by just being smart and productive, right? Working hard, being consistent, and mastering your craft. I mean, I've said like 50 things there, but the point is... It just shows the opportunity when someone like yourself, you really seize it, you really put your mind to something and you dig in. Because, and like you said, that's only the media side, the $250,000 a year from media, that is only platform revenue. That doesn't even include the brand deals and everything else, which is more lucrative than the platform revenue. And we're working on that stuff together now. We'll talk more about it shortly. But that's, I mean, there's so much upside there as well because you've built such a great brand. And so I think, you know, for anyone listening to this, do you think that opportunity exists for others as well in this industry? Do you think people can replicate what you've been able to achieve?
Can anyone do what I do? The short answer is anyone can do anything. Are you going to put the time into it? Are you going to be as consistent as I am? Are you going to say to yourself, hey, Russ, you're going on vacation next week. You got to double up. You're not golfing on Sunday. You're filming 20 videos and you're going to post those while you're on vacation. Are you going to be constantly thinking about it? Are you going to be so obsessed that you can get it to the level I've gotten it to? Anyone can do it. I've had some people reach out to me. I give them a couple pieces of advice. I see them do it a couple, doesn't get the traction, boom. Can you live with the bad comments? Can you live with the negative comments? Can you live with putting a ton of time into a video and it gets literally no views? You get 100 views, 200 views. If you can live with all of that and do all of that and consistently try to get better, yes, anyone can do what I did. Now, I said that there's a lot of prerequisites to doing it.
Yeah.
But it can be done for sure. It just takes time. I mean, my first video was posted in 2019. Nobody knew who I was. I didn't start getting traction. My Instagram account, I wish I could, there's probably a way to look into this. I had less than 3,000 followers probably this time last year. Now I have almost 300,000, but I just started taking it serious. I got two full-time jobs.
What I really loved about you was, for anyone here listening, we met up, me and Russ actually met up, you know, in person the other day as well. The funny thing is this podcast was supposed to be recorded in it was recorded in person, or we tried, we started, and it didn't quite work out. We had some studio issues. So then we said, look, we were kind of tight on time. We're like, all right, let's just do this remotely. We'll do it. You know, it's just not going to work out today. But I loved how you talk about when you were 18, you kind of bought the Lincoln and all that, right? You're only 25. And, you know, you pulled up in a nice, humble Ford Maverick. I saw, you know, simple wheels, nothing flashy. I mean, I love that, right? It seems like you got your head on in the right direction. And, you know, it's nice to see for someone that, you know, you're doing great things and you're also, it seems as though just being smart about your money. So I respect that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I truly pride myself. You know, I only for like a year, I did fall into the trap of, you know, new car, new house, this, that, the other, spending all the money. And I quickly realized and that this is just a big part of my management. You know, they've really taught me and grounded me in money management. And I've taken that tenfold. You know, I just bought my fourth house yesterday. And this podcast isn't about real estate, but I could do a whole separate podcast about my real estate endeavor. But just, you know,
bought your fourth, like a rental property?
So this will be a primary home. It will be a rental probably in 2 years. This is a whole different conversation of what goes on in the back of Russ's head about real estate. But yeah, I got three rentals. This fourth home, very humble home. I mean, literally less than 50% of what I was pre-approved for. So very humble home. Gotta make it nice, of course. You know, it's not like I'm not in the or nothing, but you know, but just that long-term vision of setting my family up for success.
Smart man. All right. So we haven't really touched on this, right? This is a very important podcast for me, for you, for Car Dealership Guy. And I did mention this in the intro, right? But you have recently joined as the first creator on the Car Dealership Guy Creator Network. And I wanted to ask you, and I never asked you this yet, right? Why did you decide to join us? Just to kind of table set for 1 second, because people are probably like, what the F is the Car Dealership Guy Creator Network? My background, as I've been building Car Dealership Guy with the vision of building this giant platform for automotive insights and uplifting, you know, dealers, consumers, and the entire industry, one thing that's consistently crossed my mind was, how do we grow faster, right? How do I make more of an impact? I knew from day one that that's not going to be just me. I didn't know how it was going to play out, but I always knew, I just don't believe that you can get far alone. And nor did I want to do that. There's no fun in that, right? And so you reached out to me. I'm kind of sharing some context here, so feel free to tell me if you want to share this yourself. But you had reached out to me like months back, and we started having a very organic, natural conversation. You were looking for some help with some things, and like I really empathized with you, right? Because I know what it's like to be an automotive creator on social media, or just a creator, period. Someone that creates content. It's a very hectic lifestyle. It's a treadmill. You need a lot of support around yourself, especially when it's centered around you. And so one of the interesting things when you reached out to me, you know, which I never told you this, but it really hit me. And I said, I want to help this guy, right? And look, a lot of people reach out to me for help and creators, but I would tell you not a lot have the proof, right? Not a lot of people put into work or come to you with, hey, I'm not just coming to kind of, I want your time for free or whatnot, but rather I've actually done some things and I'm just want to, you know, get to know you. Maybe we can uplift each other. And so when you reached out, it really hit me. And I said, is there a model where I can help other creators while continuing to build upon my vision and building this giant community for automotive insights? And that was why I decided that we were going to launch. That was initially why I decided to launch this creator network, where I said, I'm going to team up. I'm going to exclusively partner with, as we have, and we'll talk about it in a second, but exclusively partner with the best of the best automotive creators. And what it's going to give them is allow them to have me representing them, right? I have a team. We built this muscle in our company already where we represent creators with deals, with ad deals, pretty much manage them like an agency, right? Any, you know, artist is manage traditionally, but also offer support functions, right? So I've spent time building operations, legal, pretty much everything that it takes to production to actually do what we do on a daily basis. And so that was really the vision I had. And getting to know you was, I really believe that I felt like you were someone who's very, have really mastered your craft. You're a student of the business. I loved that you are bridging the gap between dealers and consumers, which I really believe in as well. Not many people have accomplished that. And so I think those things combined gave me a lot of conviction to want to work together. And so that's what the Creator Network is. All it is creating a bigger platform for automotive insights by bringing the best automotive creators under the wing of Car Dealership Guy. Me and you combined today, we reach now over 120 million social media impressions per month, right? And so I still can't contextualize these numbers. It's astonishing, but it is incredible to have the ability to do this and again, positively impact everyday people in the business. And so anyways, that's kind of my rant there. We've kind of did this entire thing and I never really shared with you behind the scenes, but it's exciting to do it now. And so yeah, that was really what led me to want to get into this entire thing. So now I'm going to take a pause, less about me, more about you. I wanted to ask you, like, why did you want to and why did you decide to want to join our Creator Network at Car Dealership Guy?
Well, you asked the question, why did I put ultimately my entire brand's trust in what you have going on? And I think it goes back to something, I don't even know if you remember saying this, but for context. There are a lot of automotive creators and some people take such harsh stances. They're either so anti-dealer, screw the dealer, get the best deal. They're only out to get you, which isn't true. There are more dealers than not are helpful. Yes, just like anything in the world, there's the bad bunch. But for the most dealerships in America want to help consumers and create a relationship. Then there's some automotive guys that are like, screw the consumer, you know, ring them out for every penny. And I've felt that my brand has always, and it's really hard to build a brand being unbiased. That is like, if you look in media and even politics, it's really easy to pick one really harsh stance and just stand on it. So when you're trying to thread that tightrope and be neutral and, you know, offer advice over here and offer advice over here, and this is good, this is bad, it's tough, but I was able to do it. And you said to me on our one phone call, you're like, Russ, I'm not pro dealer. I'm not pro consumer. I'm just pro facts. I just like to give what it is with an unbiased take and let people. And I was like, boom, that's me. That is so me, that resonates with how I feel, how I want my brand to continue. And then when you started to peel back the curtains on your vision and what you got going on. I mean, if you asked me a year ago, do you think you'd sign a deal with Car Dealership Guy? I'd say what Brett Morgan famously said, who the F is Car Dealership Guy? Like, I don't even know who that is.
You know, I love that.
You know, our first, this is funny too. I mentioned this story, our first phone call. So I'm talking to, I don't know who, I'm talking to Car Dealership Guy's Instagram. I reached out to his Instagram because I knew I wasn't getting through to this dude's Twitter, you know, 500,000 followers on Twitter. I go, he got like 10,000 on Instagram. He just started it. I go, let me try his Instagram.
Yeah. And we're smart, by the way, smart move for anyone listening, right? Always go to the creator's like smallest platform where they're most, you know, inclined to respond.
So I'm messaging this guy and I have no clue who it is, obviously. No one does. Very few do. And we hop on a FaceTime call maybe 3-4 months ago when this all started to unravel.
I literally don't remember this, but I trust you here.
It's a true story. And you and Justin, who's one of the guys on the team, are both in the FaceTime. And Yossi just jumps right into it. He's super excited. He's telling me about the vision, the dream. Justin's talking. And I go, wait, hold on. Who is Car Dealership, or either of you even Car Dealership Guy? Like, who the hell am I talking to right now? And you were like, oh, yeah, I should have led with that. I am Car Dealership Guy. And I just thought that was funny, dude. That was so cool.
That's
so I don't know epic. If you remember that.
Yeah, no, now I remember that actually, because I yeah, that's funny.
I was just but initially, like, who's yeah, who? Like, so are these guys both employees for Car Dealership Guy? Like, is this, I don't know who you were.
No, dude, we're really excited about this. It's a serious big move. The other thing worth mentioning, and we'll move on from this, but I think just this really takes us to a new level and the platform. Meaning, I've really built the mass of my platform has pretty much been centered around X, you know, Twitter and LinkedIn. Of course, email and the podcast, massive platforms for me. But Instagram and TikTok have kind of been my laggards, right? Because I was anonymous for so long and I never really grew on those platforms. Now it's growing incredibly quickly. The following there has just really catapulted. But it was, again, early on, not something where I put a lot of attention to. And so teaming up with you, it's even more exciting now because there's this like kind of a comprehensive platform domination, whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, we're on all platforms. And again, it just allows us and the brand to have a bigger impact. And so I think that's, it felt very, very like a good complementary fit.
And I think to a lot of people, and a lot of friends and family asked me this too, and I don't think we ever talked about this show. It's like, you know, can't you just do all this on your own, Russ? Like, can't you? And I'm like, it's really tough to be a full-time content creator, full-time employee. And then if you guys saw how many emails I got a day, you would understand why partnering and having a support team behind you just lifts the burden off your shoulders. And I mean, since signing with you, man, I mean, it's really just been the focus is content and the car dealership guy team just handles all that back end stuff. And it's just, you know, just really changed my life and I've been really able to focus on the content. And it's just, I wanted to really legitimize my brand. I didn't just want to be that funny car sales guy and then wither away in a couple years. And just, I want to be on top of my game for the rest of my life. And I think this partnership is going to allow me to do that.
I love to hear it. So Russ, what's your personal vision? How do you see your brand evolving, right, over the next couple years here and just in general, the future? What's your vision?
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna speak in terms of big goals, big aspirations. I like to dream big. And one, I want to be known as a guy who literally gives cars away. Like if you saw me, can I get recognized in public a lot, but it's normally, oh, your content's funny or hey, I love your stuff. I want to be like, oh, that's a dude that gives cars away. Like literally, physically, free car. Here you go.
Interesting. Why? What drives that? Like intrinsically, why do you want to do that?
I love helping. I love giving back. I like cars, so it's a good fit. You know, you think Mr. Beast style, but hyper-focused on cars. Like I don't want to give anything else away. Just cars. Everyone needs a car. A lot of people can't have cars. A lot of people are in bad situations. On my YouTube, I recently just gave my first car away. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. The grand plan is start with a $1,000 car, which was extremely tough. Took me a long time to find a nice $1,000 car worth giving away. Because last thing you want to do is give someone a car. It's going to cause them more headache than help them. But I gave this young girl a car. She was actually a client of mine, came in trying to buy a car, and we just couldn't get it done. The reasons why don't matter, but just couldn't buy a car that day. And I've been texting her and trying to help her, and I came across finally a very nice $1,000 car, and I gave it to her and I documented the whole thing, and it was just awesome. And then I was like, okay, next it's going to be a $2,000 car, which I'm in the search for, which is just still incredibly hard. And I'm going to go all the way up to a $100,000 car. Now to some people wondering like, well, who really needs a $100,000 car? When I say $100,000 car, it doesn't necessarily mean one Lincoln Navigator. It could be 10 Toyota Camrys at the same time. 10, you know what I mean? So there's so many ways to attack this, but that's just what I want to be known as. Like almost if you see me in public, dude, is he giving a car away? Like, I want to get that free car. The second angle of content that I see aside from giving cars away is I've recently had opportunities and people reach out to me about going into their dealership and actually teaching their guys what I do and making skits for them. And this is something I've thought of doing, but didn't necessarily seriously think about doing. But I'm, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, in this podcast is, can everyone do what Russ does? And I think people want to find out if I can teach them to do what I do. And I think I would do an excellent job because there's, you know, I can teach you what I, you know, it took me a year and a half, 2 years to learn what works, what doesn't work. And I know what works and what doesn't work. And to offer people the ability to learn what that does would be an awesome opportunity. I see myself doing some type of content as well, like a secret shopper, you know, hidden cameras. Russ is coming to your dealership and going to battle one-on-one with your top guy. And, you know, even, you know, and the last thing I want to do is waste a car salesman's time. So this will all be, I will pay every car salesman that I am secret shopping because, you know, I would feel really bad if I am with a salesman. I'm obviously probably not going to buy the car unless they do a really good job. I mean, if I'm there to secret shop them, funny story, Yost, it's actually hilarious. my dealership used to send people to go secret shop, like not on camera, none of that, just to go learn the business, go learn the competition. And one guy had to call up and get saved because he was about to buy a car. Like an employee from my dealership went down the street, went to another place, and he was like, dude, you gotta, like, they have my keys. I'm literally about to sign. Like, I don't know what the heck's going on. Like, it's a good deal, I think. Like, you guys gotta come. And dude, this was in like the late 90s. My manager told me the story, but that literally happened.
Oh my God, that's epic.
But I would love to secret shop dealerships on camera.
Yeah, no, I could see you doing that. I mean, obviously, we've talked about dealerships contracting you, which I know, you know, that was something that you mentioned to me early on, and I think is what super up your alley. I mean, it makes total sense because it's just up your skill set. I think the mystery shopping is also funny. Like, I could see you at some point with like a TV show or something. Not that, by the way, not that you're going to get more views than you get now, to be very clear. But, you know, there's like that certain like level of legitimacy, like having your own TV show, like, you know, Bar Rescue for Cars. I think you mentioned that analogy, but I liked it and I remember that.
So, yeah, that would just be so cool, man. You send 10 customers into an underperforming dealership 20 minutes before close. Obviously, if they're underperforming, love to see the reactions, you know, love to see them, you know, throw people out, you know, and be sitting in the van with the owner of the dealership just watching things crumble, but then truly help them. Put processes and procedures, because there's lots of good people in the car business that just need a little bit of tweaking, some processes, some procedures to really crush it in this business. And there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Man, great conversation. It's funny how these conversations, I'm having them with, you know, I've spoken to you obviously plenty of times and I still learn new things. And I think that's the cool part about like long form. You get to really dig in. And so I really enjoyed it, man. First of all, for anyone listening, of course, go follow Russ. All the platforms, Russ Flips Whips. I think you'll recognize him right away. I would be shocked if people who are listening right now have not seen at least one of your videos at some point, because, you know, we've all seen them. They've all gone viral. And so truly, truly exciting times, my friend. Thrilled to have you on board on the Creator Network. Any parting words for our audience?
No, just thanks for listening, guys. Like you said, go shoot me a follow at Russ Flips Whips. And I think, Yost, saying this to you personally, but we're going to look back on this podcast one day and just realize that this was just the start of something so big. So I just think it's awesome that in today's era, you can document all this stuff. You know, you look at big companies like Apple. I mean, they didn't document their early things. There's no proof of
such a good point,
you know, but we have this all documented to look back and, oh, that car rescue thing did come to fruition. They talked about that in their first podcast, you know, just, I think that's so awesome.
I love it. All right, my brother. It's been really enjoyed speaking. We'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good, man. Great talking to you.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Please give the podcast a rating, consider subscribing to the show, and check the show notes for links to what we talked about. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you guys next time.